White, J.E. White, Emma. Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia. August 16, 1895. Dear children, I am sitting on my bed in my tent, attempting to write to you. I sent a letter to go to you in the last American mail, but was delayed in writing until I fear it was too late to reach Sydney for that boat. But if it failed to reach that boat, you will get it by this one. At that time, I sent an order to have $100 paid to you at Battle Creek, to be used in such cases as you may meet who, if they embrace the truth, must have some help in the lines of clothing and food. This is my duty, and I dare not leave the work to others. They may not see the necessity of the case sufficiently to act. They may be hemmed about by a prudence and caution that is not heaven-born. Said Job, "The cause that I knew not, I searched out." Job 29, verse 16. But there is no need of particular searching on your part and on the part of your fellow workers. The needs are on every hand. One needs much wisdom where there are so many opportunities to see the needs and to help those who are worthy of help. The workers will need sanctified judgment and discrimination to apply the help where it will do the greatest amount of good in helping men and women, prudently, that they may help others. I know it is impossible to remain in the field where you are, barehanded. God does not require this of any worker in the southern states. All who engage in labor must have something wherewith they shall help the suffering ones at the right time. This will open the way for their hearts to respond to the truth. But the heart of the one who opens the scriptures to others must be wide awake and all aglow with the love of God. The word must be presented with faith and assurance, not in a bleak, cold, methodical manner. You are in a field where the work of educating is essential. The same ideas will have to be repeated again and again in the very simplest manner, as if talking to children, for they are children in understanding. Our Lord said, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." John 4, verse 35. The disciples could not discern any flattering appearance, but rather they saw a discouraging outlook. Christ was speaking in figurative language. The seed of truth had been sown, and the harvest was about to follow. The sermon Christ preached to that one woman of Samaria was the sowing of the seed, and very rapidly followed the harvest. She went quickly into the Samaritan city and voiced the words spoken by Christ to her. And with decided assurance she said, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Verse 29. Jesus knew that at the report of this woman, many would come from curiosity to see and hear him for themselves, and many believed on him and drank in the words of truth that fell from his lips. And many of the Samaritans believed on him for the saying of the woman, who testified, "He told me all that ever I did." And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Verses 39, 41, 42. There was a harvest ready to be garnered from that field. The Holy Spirit impressed the truth upon their hearts. The Lord Jesus told his disciples to lift up their eyes and look on the fields. The same words are addressed to every genuine Christian. We are to look. We are to see the wants and necessities of the fields. They were to be encouraged as they saw the readiness of the Samaritans to receive the truth spoken by the woman and to acknowledge it fully when they listened to his word for themselves. This was considered the very hardest field to be worked. There were other fields equally prepared to receive the treasures of truth, and that were ripe for the sickle. This experience was of great advantage to the disciples. It was a lesson, demonstrating the nature of the fields to be worked in the presentation of the truth. For while there would be many who would not yield to conviction, there were souls hungering for the words of life and salvation. Many would hear, and many would receive and believe. And they would testify, "We have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Verse 42. This is a complete and full testimony to the truth. Those who readily received the words of Christ would sow the seed of truth in other hearts. They would take notice of the fields now open for labor.
The lesson in this is for us. The colored race have been passed by, with some deplorable expressions of regret, but with eyes fastened on the more promising fields nigh their own strong borders. Suppose God's people shall lift up their eyes and look on destitute fields that have not been worked. The missionary spirit must prevail if we individually shall form characters after the pattern, Christ Jesus. The colored people have souls to save. They are our neighbors in the sight of God, and we cannot merely look and deplore the discouraging appearance of the field and pass by on the other side. We must unitedly take hold and interestedly seek to work the field. We are not only to look, but we are to go in and reap. It is those in the most need that God calls us to consider and help. As workers together with God, we are to engage in labor. We are not only to pity the southern people, but we are to help them as they shall need help. There is a field in America, nigh and not afar off. One is to sow the seed, another to reap, and another to bind up. And here is a variety of branches of work that must be done now, while the angels continue to hold the four winds. Many may work in this field who desire to engage in missionary labor. There is no time to be lost. And as men, women, and children shall receive the truth, intelligent minds, fully imbued with the Spirit of God, should educate and direct them to help one another. There is a field right in the shadow of your own doors that is to be worked. It has had a touch with the plow in a few spots, and then the workers have left to go to easier fields that look more promising. Those who work this field must practice self-denial, and facilities must be provided wherewith they can work the field. Missionaries are wanted. God calls for them to take up their neglected duties. But the missionaries must not be sent to this field without the facilities to carry forward the work. Means are required. Let farmers, financiers, and builders come in and use their art and craft to improve lands, to build humble cottages, for this field can be made a fruitful field. Again, Christ says to you, "Lift up your eyes and look on this southern field, for it needs workers, sowers of the seed, and reapers." The grace of Christ is unlimited. It is God's free gift. And why should not this neglected people have some hope and courage and faith brought into their life? There is sunshine in the heart for all who will accept of Christ. There is reward for the wholehearted, unselfish workers. They will enter into the joy of their Lord. What is this joy? Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Luke 15, verse 10. There will be a blessed commendation, a holy benediction, on the faithful winners of souls, for they will join the rejoicing ones in heaven who shout the harvest home.
How great will be the joy when the redeemed of the Lord shall all meet, gathered into the mansions prepared for them. Oh, what rejoicing for all those who have been impartial, unselfish laborers together with God in winning souls to Christ. What satisfaction will every worker have when the clear, musical voice of Jesus shall be heard? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verse 34, 21. The Redeemer is glorified because he has not died in vain. Those who have been co-laborers with God see, as does Christ, the travail of their soul for perishing, dying sinners. And they look upon them with glad, rejoicing hearts, for they see of the travail of their soul and are satisfied. The anxious hours they have spent, the perplexing circumstances they have had to meet, the sorrows of heart because some refuse to see and receive the things which make for their peace, are forgotten. But as they look upon the very souls they sought to win to Jesus Christ and see them saved, eternally saved, as monuments of God's mercy and of a Redeemer's love, there rings through the arches of heaven shouts of praise and thanksgiving. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is under heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. Revelation 5, verse 9-14. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 3. Is not this a great reward? But those who will take the burdens upon themselves, who will devote their God-given abilities to the doing of the words of Christ, those who will be partakers of his sufferings in this world, will be partakers with him of his glory. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father on his throne. Then the inspired word follows. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3, verse 21-22. Edson, we are convinced, since making the experiment at Avondale, Corinbong, that the Lord will indeed work with those who combine physical, manual labor with their studies. It is the most astonishing thing that the thousands of acres of land lie uncleared and uncultivated. We cannot buy a sixpence worth of vegetables anywhere. We can buy excellent oranges for 2p, 4 cents, a dozen. But these grow without any painstaking effort. No new trees are planted, but the old trees grow from year to year, yielding their golden harvest. But no new land is cleared, no new orchards planted. No fruit is raised with the exception of oranges. We are now making an orchard and building a small cottage, and in this way giving object lessons. Already some are buying trees of us to plant. Why have they not done this before? Because the false witness is born that the ground is not good and will not raise produce. But the laziness of the settlers is the real excuse. We want this part of the country to see what the land will yield under practical, intelligent, persevering labor. The country is growing poorer and poorer because so little use is made of the land. In the name of the Lord, we will show them that sowing and planting will yield a harvest. We need intelligent men to develop the capacity of the soil. God knew when He looked upon the earth and pronounced it good, very good, that energy and genius will reveal the best results. It needs strong arms and stout hearts who will work with a will and will love it, enriching the ground by cultivation. My children, you will meet with deplorable ignorance. Why? Because the souls that were kept in bondage were taught to do exactly the will of those who called them their property and held them as slaves. They were kept in ignorance and were untaught. Thousands of them do not know how to read. Their teachers are, many of them, corrupt in character, and they read the scriptures to fulfill their own purposes, to degrade in life and practice. They are taught that they must not think or judge for themselves, but their ministers must judge for them. In their teaching, the divine plan has been covered up by a mass of rubbish and falsehood and perversion of the scripture. This is a favorable field for the working of seducing spirits, and they will have success because of the ignorance of the human minds so long trammeled and abused as their bodies have been. The whole system of slavery was originated by Satan, the tyrant over human beings, whenever the opportunity offers for him to oppress. Whenever he can get the chance, he ruins. Now, there are those who are intelligent. Many have had no chance who might have manifested decided ability if they had been blessed with opportunities such as their more favored brethren, the white people, have had. But thousands may now be uplifted and become human agents to help their own colored race if they can receive the help God requires to be given them. Man and women feel their deep poverty and necessity of elevation. And when faithful teachers shall come in to open to the colored people the scriptures just as they read, presenting truth in its native purity, the darkness will disappear. Bright beams of light will shine upon the soul searching for truth. And with those who have had advantages, a close and intelligent investigation will take place upon the subjects of truth revealed in the scriptures.
The mixing up of things sacred with things carnal. The conforming of the church to the world, making laws to bind the consciences of those whom God has made free. Through secular influences will be the masterly working of satanic agencies in cruel imprisonments. And the human agent, exercising a power over the religious faith and conscience of his fellow men, will hinder many poor, timid, ignorant souls from doing the will of God. But many will be taught of God. They will learn aright from Jesus Christ. They have been more slow to learn lessons relating to religious liberty because of the attitude that man has assumed toward his fellow men, calling man his property. Imperfect discernment exists still in many minds in reference to their own God-given rights. One finite human being compelling another to do his will, claiming to be mind and judgment for another. This sentiment that has Satan for its originator has presented a history, terrible, horrible in oppression, tortures, and bloodshed.
Man is God's property by creation and redemption, but man has been demanding the right to compel the consciences of men. Prejudices, passions, satanic attributes have revealed themselves in men as they have exercised their powers against their fellow men. All is written, all. Every injustice, every harm, every fraudulent action, every pang of anguish caused in physical suffering is written in the books of heaven as done to Jesus Christ, who has purchased man at an infinite price, even his own life. All who treat his property with cruelty are charged with doing it to Jesus Christ in the person of his heritage, who are his by all the claims of creation and redemption. And while we are seeking to help the very ones who need help, we are registered as doing the same to Christ. A correct knowledge of the Scripture would make men fear and tremble for their future, for every work will be brought into review before God, and they will receive their punishment according as their works have been. God will give, to the faithful and true, patience under trial.